This is Doug Miller, pastor, overseer, elder. Are these three different men, or perhaps all the same man, described using different words? Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are back again. Word of God in hand to share with you in this beautiful, wonderful book, which is Truth and Life and Light, which contains in its pages everything we need to make us perfect, truly furnished unto all the good works that God has for us. So, you know, with this book, you are in business. Without this book, you are merely left to confusion. God has spoken clearly, and I think that it is a fairly easy book to understand if we just let him say what he said and not try to force meanings into this that aren't there. So bring along your Bible and come along and open up to Acts 20. We will begin. We ended last week with verse 28. We will take it up right there again and see what God has for us in this marvelous passage of Scripture. Call a friend. Tell them to listen in as well. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this word go out as far out to as many as we can get it out to. And to that end, we require your support and your prayers and your word of mouth advertising. We cannot exist as a faith ministry without you. So, we would love to hear from you. Please write down our mailing address, Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. Let us hear from you. We would love to answer any questions that you have, provide you with any materials that we can, and just in general help you out, all free of charge. Anything that we've got that we can help you with comes with no strings attached, I will guarantee. And if you didn't get that mailing address, just keep your writing materials handy. Paul Sublett will send it to you later on. Also, we've got an email address. But let me give you that one. That's Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, at sbcglobal.net. Dialogue Ministries at sbcglobal.net. You want to pull up our webpage? Okay, that's Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, .org. .org. If you put .com, you'll get something else, which may be what you want. But if you want to get our webpage, it's .org. Now, if you would like to call and talk to me, we've got a phone number, but we don't have a paid secretary sitting there listening at all hours. So, the number is 405, area code 405-535-9089. That's 405-535-9089. You will get a recording, and I will get back with you. All right. On May 12th, not too long off in the future here, on May 12th, we will have Dialogue's annual Bible conference, which will be held this year in Oklahoma City, in downtown Oklahoma City. Discussing this among ourselves, we held the last one down at Camp Klassen in the Arbuckle Mountains, and it was good. We had a good time, good number of people out, But we decided to hold this one this time in Oklahoma City and see if we will not even get more people. The idea being that, you know, the Arbuckle Mountains, a lot of people had trouble driving that far. But this one is in downtown Oklahoma City, and it will begin at 10 o'clock in the morning on May 12th, which is a Saturday, at the Character Inn. This is a Christian conference center in downtown Oklahoma City, and it is just west of Walker on Main Street downtown. Okay, last year, and we've got room in here for, 80, 90 people or so, I don't know. Might be a good idea if you would just call us up or email us and let us know you're coming. But if you don't, we'll crowd you in somehow. We will not be providing a meal this time. Last year down at Camp Klassen we did. But this year, since it's in downtown Oklahoma City and there are restaurants within a, you know, not too far away from there, we're going to have a noon break from about noon to 2 o'clock and give you time to get something to eat and back. So we would love to see you. The subject of the conference this year is God Through with National Israel. For all of you out there who are teaching or that are under teaching that says that, yes, Israel rejected Christ as Messiah, therefore God has rejected them, and he has turned to the church, and the church is now spiritual Israel. If you're under that kind of teaching, you need to come out and at least give me a hearing and give me a chance to refute that, because that teaching is false. You don't need to be listening to that. I'm telling you. And I realize this is controversial, but please come out and listen. God is not through with National Israel. All right, enough about that. Let's look in Acts 20, and let's take it up at verse 28 again. Now, last week at this time, I said, and I didn't mince any words about it, God's pattern for the New Testament assembly is not the pastor of the church. For all of you pastors out there, you are the pastor of the church. You may covet that position. You may have a lot of authority in that position. On the other hand, you may be worked to death in that position. Either way, let me tell you that what you are doing is not what God intended. And if I'm wrong on this, just show me where I'm wrong. I have been saying this for years. I have offended people and upset some people, and some people have said, praise the Lord, thank you, brother, I'm glad to see this. One way or the other, not one person in a period of well over 40 years has ever come forward and said to me, well, let me show you the pastor of the church in the New Testament assembly. There is, it's not there. It's pastors, plural, in a church. Okay, now last week we saw in verse 17 a group of men identified as elders. Okay, that Paul called to come out and meet him when he was in Miletus, and these are the elders of the assembly at Ephesus. I've had people say, I've heard them say, well, Timothy was the pastor at Ephesus. Oh, really? Come on now. Timothy, the pastor? I've heard him say the Apostle John was the pastor. Now, I know that very early in the Christian era, by, you know, the first, second century, that we had pastors of churches. I'm not asking what we've done. I'm simply looking at the Bible. Paul didn't send to call for the elder. He called for a group of men. They are elders, and it is presbyteros, and these are men. Sorry about that, ladies, all of you who think you've been ordained to preach and so on and so forth. And there's Miller out there, that sorehead. He's just politically incorrect, and he's putting women down. And I'm doing nothing of the sort. I'm letting the Bible say what it says. These elders are men. The word elder, presbyteros, is a masculine word. and it means older men. For those of you who are out here and you are young men, and some of you out here, I remember I was in a church one time that they had a pastor, and they had, and he was an older man. And when he left, they went out and they brought in a very young man. Well, that's what they said they wanted, someone who could appeal to the kids, someone who could get hold of the kids and be useful in ministering to the kids. This young man made an absolute shambles of things. You know why? Because, simply because he was too young and he simply didn't know what he was doing. When it comes to appointing elders, one of the things that Paul said, go back and read it in 1 Timothy 3, to Timothy was not a neophyte. Not a neophyte. The word in Greek means one newly planted. Don't do it. They have not been down the road far enough. They don't know enough. They have not had time to learn. These are older men. Now, if you say, well, is every old man, an elder? Well, in a sense, I suppose. But elder is a position in the church, a position of great responsibility. These are the men that lead and guide the assembly, and there's a group of them. It's not just one man. And that's the way God planned it, and that's the way it ought to be. Now, look at verse 28 now. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you the overseers. The word is episcopus. I told you last time we get our word Presbyterian from the elders back there, presbyteros, in verse 17. Here is the verse, and here is the word from which we get the word episcopal or Episcopalian. It is episcopos, and it means to look upon. It is an overseer. Notice, it's not a different group of guys. It's the same guys. These elders, which is what they are in themselves, they are older men, are doing a work, and that work is the work of overseeing. And they are to take heed to the flock, and it actually is the little flock. That's a nice one, isn't it? Poimneo, little flock. And they are overseers. They are the ones that look upon the flock, that take care of them. They have to be constantly vigilant. They have to take heed. I said last time, you don't make the Holy Ghost the overseer. If you are an elder in the meeting you are in, he has made you the overseer. If you are in a meeting without elders, I can tell you right now that meeting is out of line. I don't care who I offended with that one. I had a guy say to me one time, we don't have elders in our church. We don't believe in them. I said, why not? He said, because there are no apostles to appoint them. Well, there are no apostles to appoint them. No, there are no apostles to appoint anyone to anything anymore. But we do have apostolic direction. So in a very real sense, we've got it in 1 Timothy 3. We've got it in Titus 2 and 1 and 2. We have got apostolic direction about the appointment of elders and what they ought to be. And if you're offended by my saying you're just simply wrong on this, well, okay, you're offended. But I don't know how you would get around this. Older men, these are not deacons. A deacon, that's diaconus, that simply means a minister. And there is a lot of ministry going on that needs to go on in the churches out there. And this is a very responsible position. Some people out there are taking care of the buildings. Some people are taking care of the finances. Some people are out there in the churches. There are all kinds of ministries going on in the churches. That's deacon work, diaconus. But what do the elders do? The presbyteros, episkopos, what are they doing? They are taking care of the spiritual needs of the flock. Now, if you say, well, we've got a pastor that does that, fine. I know I may be beating a dead horse. I know I'm repeating myself, but let me tell you something. That man, that one individual you've got, is not equipped to handle this. He needs help. God intended for him to have help. I know of churches, and you do too, in which the pastor is the teacher. He is the one guiding the flock. He's the one that says this goes and that. He is the evangelist. He's the one that does the teaching off the platform. I have known men up on that platform who had no business up there at all. They had no gift for that kind of teaching at all. But they were very effective shepherds, pastors, guides of the flock. They were very effective as teachers one-on-one. An elder must be apt to teach, wrote Paul to Timothy. But to take an individual and, you know, ordain him by the laying on of hands and put him up on that platform and say, now we sent you to seminary, they taught you how to preach, start preaching, he may not have that gift at all. I leave you to think about that one. Right now we are looking at the business of elders. They are to be overseers. They are to look on the, and they are to, and here is where the word pastor comes in. They are to feed the church of God. The word in Greek, poimainein, poimainein, which means to pastor, to feed as a shepherd feeds the flock. This is where the pastoring comes in. These elders are pastors. That's what they are. And once again, God's plan for the New Testament assembly is a plurality of pastors in the church. Now, if you write me or call me or whatever in great anger and how dare you say, look, please, you're wasting your time with this. If all you want to do is say, I'm the pastor and you've offended me. If you're the pastor, you had better be ready to show me where in this book it's that the pastor of the church is taught. Otherwise, don't waste your time or mine telling me I'm wrong. As I have said before, here it comes again, I've been saying for 40 years now, if there is such a thing as the pastor of the church, just show me from the book, and I'll throw in with you, and I'll never again say a word about it. Otherwise, you know, just to come and angrily and attack me for that, well, you're wasting your time and mine. Let's read on here. Paul says, I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. He uses the word little flock again. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. That's as clear as God could make it. There will be threats from without. There will be threats from within. And that is exactly what has happened. And the church, as we see it today in this world, has been ravaged by grievous wolves coming in from without and from false teachers rising up from within. And who failed here? Wasn't God. It's these pastors. It's these individuals who should have been watching, who should have been looking. If you are in a church out there and you are an elder, you have got an awesome responsibility, and don't think you won't give account for it. Paul told them here, I am warning you. Well, let's move on. Now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. The word sanctified is the word, you know, it's hagios, it's holy. It's the same word we get our word saint from. The Lord Jesus said in chapter 17 of John, verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. That was that great high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus. He was talking to his Father. We get the same thing from Paul here. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. It is the Word that sanctifies and that sets apart. It is the Word that builds up and makes us able to. And, you know, when you look at it, I mean, this is one of the reasons that a ministry like Dialogue exists at all. Just to be able to get the people of the Lord to sit down and go with me verse by verse through this book to see what it says. And to look at it and to learn from it and to get into it on their own and to see what it says. Because it is the Word that sanctifies and builds up. I am very much afraid that in many churches there is a very light approach and even a frivolous and a blasphemous approach to this Word. You think not? I remember sitting in a Sunday school class one time in which the Sunday school teacher said, point blank, I never did believe in the resurrection, the physical resurrection from the dead. I've heard other Sunday school teachers say that they never really put all that much stock in this Word. It just wasn't that important to them. Well, great. Isn't that wonderful to hear? Why would people sit under that kind of stuff? I didn't. But most of the people there did. They just went on and on. I don't know why. You know, you have someone who says something like that. He ought to be ridden out on a rail. Why should anyone listen to that kind of teaching? It's all over the place out there in Christendom today. And it is a weeping shame. We have, in so many ways, departed from this book, the thing that is to build us up. Well, let's move on here. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all, and they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. I hope that all of you out there who are in places of authority in the churches, in the assemblies of the saints, I hope you will look at what Paul said here in verse 33. And down through 35. This is his clear. Paul was not doing what he was doing for the purpose of making profit. If that's what you're doing, shame on you. You'll pay for that. You'll give an account. Paul could honestly say, I ministered to my own needs. I have showed you all things. I have coveted no man's silver or gold. You are witnesses. I hope that every one of you out there in a position of authority can say that. This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.